Well, apparently it's trendy to be spiritual. This summer, the comedian Russell Brand was sadly divorced from the singer Katy Perry. And since then, he's had a fling with singer Jerry Halliwell. And all three celebrities in that single news story are apparently spiritual in some way. For one, that means practicing yoga. For another, it means prayer and climbing a volcano. And for Russell Brand himself, it means a vague belief in God and a quest for salvation from the meaninglessness of life. Well, let's pray that he finds it in the Lord Jesus. Spirituality is trendy. But since many wildly different religions and phenomena and experiences claim to offer something called spirituality, it's quite bewildering. And as Christians, does the Holy Spirit offer anything unique? And how might anyone out there be convinced of that? Even within the extended borders of Christianity, there seem to be so many different voices claiming to speak by the Spirit of God. And even among those who call ourselves evangelical, there seem to be different ideas about God's Spirit, different ideas to choose from. So charismatic or Pentecostal or conservative or cessationist. And don't worry if you're not familiar with those labels. But how shall we deal with this confusing barrage of opinions among Christians, let alone in the world, about spirit and spirituality? The easy thing is just to ignore it and to let others do the thinking for us. So just to let our leaders and preachers at church tell us what's right and wrong. And yet in our Bible reading tonight, God calls all Christians to take responsibility to understand what's right and wrong. Can you see that with me? In chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 John. God speaks through Jesus' disciple John. John, now an old man, writing this circular letter to Christians like us. And John says, chapter 4, verse 1, "Dear friends." He doesn't write, "Dear pastor." He doesn't write, "Dear elders." He writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." It's a call to all Christians everywhere. John's just been reassuring his Christian readers about the authenticity of their faith, the reality of it. He's been reminding them how God lives inside them by his Holy Spirit, and how God the Spirit moves them to love one another, even when they fail and have to say sorry. Remember that, chapter 3, verse 24, last week, just before our reading, chapter 3, verse 24. "Those who obey his commands," God's commands, "live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And so John writes this letter to reassure genuine Christians. But the trouble is there were false teachers around as well, with false claims to the authority of God's Spirit. So chapter 4, verse 1, he says to them, "Yes, be reassured by the Holy Spirit that's in you, and the way that he's causing you to struggle against sin and to struggle to love one another and so on. Yes, be reassured by that. But chapter 4, verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." What does he mean? Is he still talking about the witness of the Spirit inside us? Well, it seems he's talking slightly differently now, because then he says, end of verse 1, "because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So he's still talking about the Spirit of God, but now he's talking about the way the Spirit seems to speak through Christian teachers, or how he doesn't speak through false teachers. these false prophets would have been throwing the Christians into confusion about their faith and casting their security in Christ into doubt. And so John says, test the spirits. That's the big headline of this passage tonight. Test the spirits. Test these various teachings you're hearing to see whether they're truly spiritual, truly from the Spirit of God, or not. Test the spirits. But how do we do that? What is the benchmark? What is the kind of the watermark? How can we tell if it's genuinely of the Spirit of God or not? Well, the first test that we find here tonight is this. That true spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. True spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. In verses 2 to 3. Verses 2 to 3, are you with me? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So true spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. Now, quite a while ago, a friend of mine once argued with me about the three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My friend argued that we focus as Christians too much on the person of Jesus, and that we ought to focus more on the Holy Spirit, as if we should be kind of have a balance between the three persons of the Godhead. And I love and respect my friend very much, but he's wrong. Because, well, they're not in competition with each other like that. No, how do we recognize the work of the Spirit of God? Because it believes and promotes the truth about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like a powerful lamp, if I may say that. I think about lamps. There are lots of different kinds of lamps in the world. If you go to IKEA, there's like 1,000 different lamps in the room. Different kinds of lamps. Now, but lamps basically fall into two categories, don't they? You get some lamps which kind of draw attention to themselves. They say, hello, I'm a lamp. So we're thinking of Christmas fairy lights and kind of crystal chandeliers and that kind of thing. But then you get other lamps which aren't like that. You don't really notice them, but they draw attention to something else, like a desk lamp. Quite drab, perhaps, black or green. But what you see is the page underneath the lamp, very bright. And if I may say so, the Holy Spirit is like that second kind of lamp. His role is to draw our attention away from himself to the Lord Jesus, to show us Jesus. And if you're not convinced of that, have a read when you get home of John's Gospel, chapter 16. See what Jesus says there about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He is perfectly equally God, but he loves to point away from himself to the Lord Jesus, to promote him. And so true spirituality, what comes from the Holy Spirit, must believe and focus on the truth about Jesus. True spirituality. Well, what is the truth that he does believe about Jesus? Chapter 4, verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. True spirituality believes that Jesus is who he claimed to be. The Christ in flesh. The God-man. God says here that any other teaching about Jesus is of the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Now, if spirituality is trendy today, the Antichrist is really not a trendy word, is it? I don't know about you. If you get excited about the word Antichrist, you're probably an extreme punk anarchist. And I don't know if we have any extreme punk anarchists here tonight. If that's you, you're very welcome. But I suspect we don't have many. But the Apostle John says here that a mysterious figure, well, he suggests at least that a mysterious figure called the Antichrist will one day appear. Who he'll be and exactly what he'll do, well, thankfully, we don't need to know. But in the meantime, the spirit of the Antichrist is all around. End of verse 3. Verse 3, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist. It sounds like something out of a dreadful horror movie, doesn't it? But it's not. Antichrist, it means simply that, anti or against Christ. And wherever people oppose Jesus Christ or try to take his place, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's very dangerous and extremely toxic. How can we be alert to the spirit of the Antichrist? How can we be alert to the teachings of that spirit? Because they tell lies about Jesus. Whereas true spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. The truth that Jesus is the Christ, it says. The Christ, that is God's promised Saviour King. Promised throughout the Bible. His Saviour King. And that is the Christ born in flesh, it says. Now, interestingly, the Apostle Paul faced the same question. How to test true spirituality? Paul agreed that the test is about the truth of Jesus. But for Paul, 35 years earlier, the particular truth at stake was different. So would you look back with me to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry, in the Church Bible, it's page 810. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, and the Apostle Paul writes, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." True spirituality always believes the truth about Jesus. Now in Corinth, Paul's audience, in about AD 55, the lie that was being put around was that Jesus is not Lord, not Lord of my life. And so Paul emphasized, no, Jesus is Lord. That was the truth about Christ that was particularly at stake at the time. But by the end of the first century, as John is writing his letter, the false claims about Jesus were more sophisticated. They denied that Jesus was the Christ, come in the flesh. So now John emphasizes, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now this false teaching, it was an early form of what's called Gnosticism. Now, when I say Gnosticism, some of you, suddenly, you're just about to switch off. You're thinking, okay, this is getting academic. I'm going to switch off now. for one thing, how can we get bored by a word that begins gn? I mean, like gnu. That's a pretty weird word, isn't it? But also, it's not that boring, actually, because if I say this is what the Da Vinci Code was all about. I don't know if you remember that book, The Da Vinci Code. That was so popular, such brilliant fiction, actually, when it came out a few years ago. One of the best-selling books of all time. The unfortunate thing is it was such good fiction, but terrible history, even if it kind of purported to be history. And yet the Da Vinci Code is based on a later form of this Gnostic teaching. And here at the end of the Bible, John was already arguing against the embryonic form of this Gnosticism. Well, thankfully, we don't need to understand Gnosticism to understand what God is saying to us here. And yet we may be able to understand something by just seeing the words that he uses here. He says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In other words, the false teaching around said that Jesus, the Christ, had not come in the flesh. Now, everyone knew that Jesus of Nazareth had existed as a person. But it seems these Gnostics were saying, well, when he came in the flesh, when he was born, he wasn't the Christ. And perhaps they said the Christ came on him later when he was baptized or something like that. And it seems that they thought that the material world was thoroughly evil, the spiritual world thoroughly good. How could the two, how could the divine be fully human in the way that Jesus was? Well, don't worry if you don't get all that. The point is that true spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. And that truth is always true, always the same. And yet the particular lie that we have as Christians to tackle will change from time to time. These days, there aren't many Gnostics around. Occasionally people will quote the Gnostic Gospels at you, Gospel of Thomas and so on. You can just remind them that the official edition of those Gospels says they were written 150 years after when we know that the eyewitnesses authored the New Testament. The nearest you find to Gnostics these days are the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are sadly terribly misguided by their leaders and their Bible translators. And they would say that the Christ only came upon Jesus at his baptism. And so if you're debating with Jehovah's Witnesses, you could show them this verse. Verse 2, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. But although this particular lie, this particular heresy has mainly disappeared, we do need to be alert, like soldiers in a battle zone. Because there are constantly new lies that people, false teachers, are throwing out about the Lord Jesus. And research shows that among Church of England ministers, one quarter of ministers do not believe that Jesus died for our sins. One third do not believe that Jesus rose bodily from the dead. And half do not believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved. And let's not get cocky about denominations, because plenty of independent churches have gone the same way. But true spirituality, the true teaching of God, the Holy Spirit, believes so much, so many wonderful, tremendous truths about our glorious Lord Jesus. That Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. The glorious truth that Jesus did die in our place to take our punishment as we trust in him. And that Jesus did rise physically from the grave in history and left the empty tomb behind him and appeared to hundreds of witnesses. And that he's alive today to offer forgiveness and resurrection life as we trust in him. And the sobering truth that everyone who tragically fails to accept God's forgiveness in Jesus accepts instead God's rights and holy justice in a place Jesus, the most gentle of men, called hell. Perhaps there's someone here who's never believed these truths for yourself, never committed your life to the Lord Jesus as revealed in these truths. Won't you check out the eyewitness evidence in the Bible and turn to this tremendous Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And we must all be alert, because these truths are constantly under attack. They're under attack in the media, of course. The BBC has recently been struggling to combat allegations that it's anti-Christian. But even in a simple news bulletin, where we kind of relax and switch off, it's not safe territory, is it? So suppose the news discusses the conflict in Syria. Would it call Syria a Muslim country? Or would it call it a secular country? Well, either way, it's ignoring the fact that Jesus is the Lord of the whole world. I'm not blaming the media. Or suppose the news is discussing the school teacher and schoolgirl who ran away this week. It may briefly discuss the morality of that. But it's not going to mention the justice or love of God or the forgiveness he offers, is it? Again, that's not surprising. But let's not just be moulded by the mindset of the world. Let our minds be conformed by the truth about Jesus. Of course, John was writing first and foremost about false teaching, not in the kind of secular media of the time, if there was such a thing, but in the church. And unfortunately, such a thing apparently exists. And unfortunately, false teachers in churches don't say, "Hey everyone, over here, I'm a false teacher." No. In fact, often they start out teaching the Bible faithfully, but they drift. Like Steve Chalk, MBE, a man who's done a great deal of good in British society. But tragically, Steve Chalk denies that Jesus died in our place for the penalty of our sins. And there's Rob Bell, and he's a brilliant communicator, if you've seen his DVDs. But tragically, Rob Bell calls into question Jesus' promise that he will bring condemnation as well as eternal life when he returns. And not to judge, because we could so easily walk away. But let's pray that the Lord will have mercy on us, as he promises to do in the Lord Jesus. And let's pray for these men too. Because true spirituality believes the truth about Jesus. Now perhaps you're wondering, that's all well and good, but how do we know what that truth is? As we face new kind of false teachings about Jesus, at least they may be, and as people ask us questions about Jesus, how do we know what's the truth and what isn't? Well, more briefly, our second and final point is this. True spirituality believes the truth of the Bible. It believes the truth of the Bible in verses 4 to 6. Let's see that together, shall we? Verse 4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." True spirituality believes the truth of the Bible. End of verse 6 again. "This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." How? Well, it believes the truth of the Bible. Often in life, we hear two voices competing for our attention. Back in the golden olden days, I guess it was the BBC and ITV, as you know, the two broadcasters competing. And even today, when we've got, 700-800 channels to choose from, the question tonight, as you go home, for many of your friends and neighbours, maybe for you, will be, will people watch Downton Abbey on ITV? Or will they watch Andrew Marr's History of the World on the BBC? And on other days of the week, is it EastEnders or Coronation Street? Well, infinitely more important than that, there are two great cosmic voices. And which one will we listen to? Is it the voice of the world or the voice of God? And in the Bible, we find the voice of God proclaimed. But false teachers speak for the world in opposition to God. In fact, there are three groups in these verses. In verse 4, It says, you, dear children. He's clearly talking to his readers, the Christians, you. In verse 5, he says, they're from the world. And he's talking about the false teachers, they. Then in verse 6, he says, we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Well, he's already talked about his readers as you. So presumably the we in verse 6 does not include the readers. Who's the we? Well, look back to the first verse of the letter, would you? Where John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. When he says we, he means himself and the other eyewitnesses who authored the New Testament, the Bible as we know it today. So, in verse 6, he's talking about those who authored the Bible. He says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. In other words, true spirituality believes the truth of the Bible. Now again, this may sound academic or boring, but it places humanity in a blitzkrieg of bombs and missiles. It's a battle to win souls between these two competing voices, to capture people like us. And we may feel daunted by that, like Piggy in the middle, caught in the crossfire, and who's going to capture us? These false teachers, or the truth of the Bible? And do we need to worry about this? Well, let's see, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. It's great news. John's readers are trusting and following the Lord Jesus. And so the one who's in them, it's talking about God. The God who's in them is greater than the one who's in the world. And who's that? Well, in the last chapter, we encountered God's accursed opponent, the devil. God's greater than the devil, and God is in Christians, like us, as we trust and follow Jesus. So John says in verse 4, don't panic. Don't panic about this conflict for your attention. Remember, I told you in chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work destroy the devil's work. So whether we think about the spirit of Antichrist at work now in false teaching, or this mysterious Antichrist, who it seems will come one day, as we trust in Jesus, we don't need to worry. Because every day God implements the victory of the cross in the lives of those who trust in his victorious Son, the Lord Jesus. The defeated Satan still thrashes madly on his leash, disguising himself as an angel of light, as he works through false teachers, wolves, who seem so spiritual in their sheep's clothing, as they try to tempt us. To tempt us to stop believing and following the Bible. But wonderfully, God's working in us to overcome them. Praise God. Well, let's be encouraged. If we're trusting the truth of the Bible, because that's what true spirituality does. Yeah, perhaps we wonder, why doesn't everyone else see it? Why don't other people become Christians? Perhaps they're people we've been talking to about Jesus for years, and they know it all, and they're cleverer than us, but still they don't start trusting Jesus. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with the message? Nothing. The trouble is, they're in the wrong camp. Remember, verse 5 is talking about the false teachers, the anti-biblical teachings of our age. And see what verse 5 says. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. The world listens to them. The world loves unbiblical, anti-Jesus teaching because that's its language. In France, They love French, don't they? They love French songs. They love French authors. It's their language. They won't listen to Shakespeare because he's not French. And they'll dub all of our films into French. And you've got to feel sorry for them, as kind of America is squashing all French in the world. I've got nothing against the French. But in the same way, an audience in opposition to God loves to hear teachers in opposition to God. It's their language. The anti-God world listens to anti-God teaching because they think the same way. It makes sense to them. And so what does it take to make someone who opposes God believe the Bible? It takes a miracle. Let's pray that God will do that miracle in their lives. Let's pray for that weekend, next weekend, the quiz night, the Harvest Sunday morning service, that God will do that miracle. Let's have confidence in that event because of the miracle that God can do. Sometimes we're quite good at praying for our needs and for other Christians. We're quite good at that, maybe, as we say our prayers. But let's remember to pray often for God to bring new people to faith in the Lord Jesus. Come along on Thursday evening, if you can, to pray for God to do miracles, to bring people to know and love the Lord Jesus. Why is it significant for you and me this week, that true spirituality that believes the Bible? Because it means that we all have the incredible privilege and responsibility of listening to God in the Bible. Can I say, please don't assume that the preacher's always right. Now, I'm not asking for an extra course at Sunday lunch called Roast Preacher, where you mark the preacher out of 10 for length and content and humour. But we all need to have our Bibles open to check what the preacher's saying. And that's why Spencer and I, as we preach, we often repeat the words of the Bible, of the text, two or three times, because it's our only authority. Equally, we can't assume that our favourite Christian author or internet preacher is always right. Now, strange Christian subculture. We seem to give a handful of famous Christians kind of celebrity status. And we kind of choose one that is our hero. And whatever he says in a book or on a sermon, it must be right. We don't do that consciously. We wouldn't say that we do that. But subconsciously, it's so easy to happen. No, let's trust above all the Bible. Thankfully, God has given us leaders who faithfully teach the Bible. But let's trust above all the Bible. Well, what else does all this mean? I'm grateful that no one here comes up to me and says, I've got a word from the Lord, or God told me this or that. I'm grateful you don't do that. Because maybe he did, but we can't tell without checking the Bible. But perhaps our danger is to go to the other extreme, and not to talk with each other about the Bible or about what we've been learning in it. So positively, let's encourage one another in our conversations with the words of the Bible and truths we found there. Perhaps after a sermon, perhaps in your ordinary conversations midweek. Not in a crass way, but helpfully and sensitively applied to one another's lives. And if ultimately we need to move towns, or when some of you go to university, well, let's make it our first priority, before we choose where to move, our first priority to find a church that will teach the truth of the Bible faithfully, as much as we can tell from a distance. True spirituality believes the truth of the Bible. Well, it's trendy to be spiritual. There seem to be so many different spiritualities on offer in the world, even among those who call ourselves Christians. Let's each take responsibility to discern what's right and wrong, what comes from the Spirit of God, and what doesn't. And the test is simple. True spirituality believes the truth. The truth about Jesus and the truth of the Bible. And if we have doubts about any of those things, let's not panic, but bring our doubts to God in prayer, to ask Him for clarity, and with humility to meet Jesus in the Bible.